Chapter 7. A saint's own words are always the clearest manifestation of his spirit, and the extracts already given from St. Pater's letter to Caractacus are a touching revelation of that love which he had for those whom he had begotten in Christ, and of that sympathy which made their sufferings his own. "We have become outcasts," he says, when his children are carried away into slavery. Like all the saints, he showed not only compassion, but reverence for those in affliction. This was specially manifested in his loving service of those who were stricken by the loathsome malady of leprosy. If our saint had any need of an instructor in this work, he had one in his glorious master, Saint Martin, of whom we are told that, upon a certain occasion, when he came to the gates of Paris, and the people went forth in great multitudes to meet him, the saint saw a leper who was deformed and hideous even to look upon. Approaching the poor man, he put out his arms round his neck and kissed him, and at his touch the leper was healed. In St. Patrick's time, the victims of this terrible malady were the object of a superstitious horror and fear, which must have greatly aggravated their miseries. The Jewish law had forbidden anyone to touch a leper, ordaining that, all the time that he is a leper and unclean, he shall dwell alone without the camp. And during the reign of paganism they were considered as a curse by the gods. The example of our Lord, and the tenderness which he showed to this afflicted class, was enough for the saints, but it was a long time before the popular feeling gave way to the divine charity of the gospel. St. Patrick had great tenderness for these unhappy beings, for he saw in them the image of him of whom the prophet was written, "And we have thought him, as it were, a leper, and as one struck by God and afflicted." It is recorded how the man of God retained several lepers near him, and ministered to them in all things for Christ's sake, and of one especially we are told how, with his own hands, the saint washed the ulcers which devoured his flesh, and gave him the food suited to his state. This poor man, destitute of all bodily gifts, grew wonderfully in those of the Spirit, so that he spent all his time in prayer and giving thanks to God, and at length, that he might spare his companions and free them from the sight of his horrible malady, in his humility he withdrew of his own accord from their company, and made a dwelling for himself in a hollow tree, which he lived alone with God. The extraordinary sanctity to which this man attained by his sufferings was probably the reason that St. Patrick did not exert his miraculous powers on his behalf. At length the time came for this great lover of the cross to receive his reward. On the day of his death, which had been revealed to him, looking out from his hiding-place, he saw a man passing by, and calling him, he inquired what religion he professed. When the other replied that he was a Christian, he begged him, for the love of him in whom he had believed, to go to a wood close by and pluck one of the saplings from the earth and bring it to him. The man did as he asked, and forthwith a bright fountain burst forth on the spot. He returned to the solitary and told him what had happened. Whereupon the dying man gave thanks to God and said, "Be it known to thee, dearest brother, that our Lord Jesus Christ has brought thee thither, that thou mayest wash my body in the water of that fountain, and bury it in the same place." Saying this, and lifting his eyes and hands to heaven, he expired. When the man had washed the leper's body in the fountain, every trace of leprosy disappeared, while the air was filled with the fragrance which exhaled from those sacred remains, and having buried the body, he went on his way. Some time after, one of the disciples of St. Patrick, being on a journey, halted at this spot, and in the silence of the night he heard angelic choirs singing, while a great light surrounded the grave of the leper. He related this to St. Patrick, and expressed a wish to remove the body of this saint from so unhonored a place. But St. Patrick forbade him, predicting that there, in time to come, should dwell Cyrion, a son of life yet unborn, who should people it with an army of saints, and give great glory to these relics. We find mention of St. Patrick's charity towards lepers at other times in his life, as when at Armagh he had cured 16 at one time, who had come together from various quarters, attracted by the fame of his mercy and power. They were all restored to health in the acts of receiving baptism from the saint's hands. Again, when St. Mokhtar had retired to his hermitage, we are told that St. Patrick often visited his disciple to hold communion with him on divine things, and that he gave over to him, as a precious inheritance, 12 lepers to whom hitherto the apostle had served and tended himself. The saint's supernatural knowledge ministered to his gift of sympathy. On one occasion, when engaged in instructing and baptizing, he remained so long in the same place that the ardent Benignus grew impatient at the delay and complained with all the freedom of the beloved disciple. The saint then declared that he could not bring himself to leave the neighborhood before the arrival of some of his followers who were on the sea, coming from a distance. On the following day, the sky was darkened, and so violent a tempest arose that those who watched the waves said that the boat must certainly perish. The saint's face became very sorrowful, and he told his companions that his children in the boat were in sore distress, and that he compassionated one in particular, a boy named Eric, who was quite beside himself with terror, and then the saint betook himself earnestly to prayer. After a short interval, in the hearing of all present, he commanded the winds and the waves, in the name of God, to cease their fury and be still, and forthwith the sky cleared, and the sea became quiet. On the same day the travelers arrived, and it was found that they had been delivered from their danger at the very hour that the man of God had seen them in spirit, and prayed for their deliverance. The holy Master Patrick was one who taught clearly that charity was not a mere matter of feeling, but a duty, as we have seen from the punishments he inflicted on those who sinned against this virtue. An instance of this is recorded in the case of a blind man, who, hearing that the saint was passing, ran to meet him in hope of receiving his sight, and he hurried on, staggering and falling, as he had no one to guide him. One of the clerics in the saint's company burst out, laughing, and made sport of the poor man. Saint Patrick was filled with indignation, and as a warning to those round him, after he rebuked the scoffer and chastised him with his own hand, said, "Amen, I say to you, that in the name of my God the eyes of this man, now shrouded in darkness, shall see the light, while your own, that are open to evil and provoke others to mockery, shall be closed." When he had made the sign of the cross on the eyes of the blind man, his sight was restored, and the jester became blind. A still more terrible judgment fell upon a chief named Tyrian. Patrick, being on a journey, passed through the woods in which he found some men cutting trees, and saw that their hands were bleeding. To the question of the saint, they replied that they were the slaves of a hard master named Tyrian, who condemned them to work in this way, and that, to make their work intolerable, he would not even allow them to sharpen their axes. Patrick blessed the axes, and the men were able to cut easily with them, and then he visited the chief, and tried to soften the obduracy of his heart. Finding that words failed, the saint sat down at Tyrian's gate and fasted upon him, remaining there for a long time without food. Saint Patrick was his creditor in the name of the charity of Christ, but all was in vain, and the saint departed, declaring that the hard-hearted man would come to an evil end. Tyrian was only exasperated by the saint's remonstrances, and in revenge he bound and went on torturing the poor slaves who he had told Patrick of his cruelty, until at length, as the saint foretold, the wrath of God fell upon him. Driving one day on the shores of Lake Trenna, his horses ran away, and carried chariot and driver into the lakes. Saint Evan adds, "Lake Trenna is its name. This was his last fall. He will not arise out of that lake till the vespers of judgment, and it will not be in happiness even then." Saint Patrick once gave two brothers a lesson in fraternal charity in the following manner. Their father had lately died, and a dispute arose between them about the inheritance, and passing from words to blows, they drew their swords and attacked each other in the presence of the saint. Filled with horror and fear of the threatening fratricide, he betook himself to prayer. Then raising his hands, he blessed them, whereupon the arms of the combatants became immovable and remained uplifted and rigidly fixed in the air. The saint again blessed them and made peace between them. And they, having surrendered the disputed land to Saint Patrick for the repose of their father's soul, he built a church on the spot.